Waiting on OBS, and I think we're live.
It says we're live.
Are we live? Will we ever really know?
Well, we always say, oh, are we live? So hit the
music. Because I never know. I never know. Okay, that's my cue. Here we go.
Bombs and bands. Bombs and bands.
All systems go.
Bombs and bands.
Defiance.
Bombs and bands.
Bands. This rebel has a cause.
Can I do that music?
Bombs and bands.
Nothing's working tonight. Hey, what else is new, right?
All right.
Okay, hang on. I'm moving as fast as I... as lickety-damn split as I can. Okay, I think we're ready now. Here, let's go.
Bombs and bands. Bombs and bands.
All systems go.
Bombs and bands.
Defiance.
Bombs and bands.
Bands. This rebel has a cause.
Bombs and bands.
We begin as wanderers, and we are wanderers still.
Welcome to the 17th live edition of Bombs and Bands and Wednesday Rants. As always, I am your dedicated and humble host, John Wilder, coming to you from an undisclosed location hidden deep beneath the surface of the earth. With me, as always, is Mark.
Howdy.
Mike, as always, you are here, not here last week, but and the missus.
Why do I always feel like George Jetson when we start the show? John, stop this crazy thing!
Well, the missus, we went a week without Mark. What did we learn?
That Mark is the funny one.
That can't be right.
You were very distinctly missed because you were the... Do you ever watch Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I'm like fire, the creative fire, and the missus is like ice. You're in the middle. You're the lukewarm water that keeps us together. No, really, seriously, without you, it's just not the same. So it's wonderful to have you back. So,
well, thank you.
But I couldn't resist that one because it's funny. The missus, did you have more commentary?
No, that was kind of it.
Okay. And so was your mission successful?
Mine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have a new currency that we'll be using because, okay, I'll stop there. Yeah. Perhaps we shouldn't be talking about that. Okay. As usual tonight, we have three stories for you. The first is the missus, who will talk about an article from Science Daily about robot sex. Next, Mark will talk about an honest-to-goodness warp bubble from an article in the debrief.org.
Okay, see, I'm going to have to pause you for just a second here because we have a sick Pugsley on our hands and he is here wanting something from me. So talk amongst yourselves for a few minutes, boys.
Okay. We hit the mute on your microphone. Hit the mute on your microphone. You want a pallet of coffee? Okay. And I am going to come. Hey, hit your mute.
It's just not working.
There's a little button on the side. Well, it's still not a mute. Well, we can completely hear you. You can hear that, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, completely. So let's not discuss his personal medical issues. And that just...
Like now I'm waiting for the FBI to bang on the door.
How about you play the commercial? Can you just play the commercial and then walk off with them? Or just send them over here. My mute button works. No, I'll give him the man answer.
You know, you're right. That's part of the problem. I think my computer is listening to the wrong mic. Hang on just a second. Talk amongst yourselves, and I won't discuss Pugsley's illness with him while the mic is still on. Hang on.
Yeah. I'm not sure you guys want to hear about it either.
They can still hear you. Then shut up. Quit talking. If you don't want people to hear, shut up.
Or just go be sick somewhere else.
Did you hear Dad? He said go be sick somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Pugs, Mark. This says that the Yeti is my mic. Why is Zoom not hearing this?
How about just go walk upstairs because it's not working. Press play on the commercial.
Okay, here it goes.
All right.
Hey, Sue. Got any big plans for the holidays?
Oh, you know me, Mary. I'll probably just hunker down in the old bunker and enjoy some box wine with my dogs.
I can completely hear you.
Are you still wasting your time with online dating? Wasting my time is right. I keep looking for a man who's got a 44 Magnum, but all I manage to find are ones who have a snub-nosed 38. Have you tried PreppersOnly.com? PreppersOnly.com? What's that? It's the dating website for preppers, survivalists, and good old warlords-to-be. You won't find any soy latte-drinking, pop-gun-toting, 22-short rimfires there. Just real men, high-caliber men, who tote the large calibers. If you know what I mean. Sure sounds like just what I need under my Christmas tree. And I won't even have to worry about using the trap door this time. PreppersOnly.com. Future victims just don't get it. You don't have to be lonely at PreppersOnly.com.
So Mark, are you still there? Perhaps I shouldn't have referenced Spinal Tap because apparently now we have a model of Stonehenge that's in danger of being trampled by a dwarf. So just, this is really our Spinal Tap episode. So we have your story. So we have the Mrs. story about robot sex, which of course, you know, ties back to the next generation.
So you can you actually still hear me?
Yes.
Jesus.
Then your story about warp bubbles, I mean, that's kind of obvious because all of Star Trek was about warp bubbles and going around from place to place. And then I'm going to talk about an article from Appendia, Appendia, where a Swedish researcher faces an ethics board review over telling the truth about who is having... we're going to use the word surprise sex because you can't use the R word on YouTube. So surprise sex with the native Swedish people. And we just heard the worst audio quality version of a Christmas commercial from PreppersOnly.com. So we might want to hear that one. I don't know.
How was that the worst audio quality?
Oh, it was awful. It was like in a tin box...
you know, it's got to be this microphone issue that I am having. And yeah, I changed some stuff because I was using it for
work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, hang on. I found my might have found my issue. Hang on.
Are you back and ready to go?
I'm still trying to fix this issue.
Well, you don't have an issue. You sound great.
No, I do have an issue and there it is. Hang on.
This is scintillating podcast. I'm just telling you.
I know.
This is why people pay so much to
I know, right? Guess what? Do I sound better now?
Oh, actually, it does.
Because I switched mics. I found the problem.
Okay. So,
and now sucks. When I actually mute my mic.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can't hear me when I mute my mic now.
I finally solved that problem of shutting you up for once.
Shut up.
Okay.
Ah, finally.
All right. So, robot sex. We're 11 minutes into this monstrosity.
And we haven't said anything.
So,
I know.
No, I've said a lot of things, but
I just haven't been here for them, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Again, the article is from Science Daily. And how awesome is that? But you're not talking about Denise Crosby having sex with Data. You're talking about robots having sex with each other. So the article title is Team Builds First Living Robots That Can Reproduce. So the missus, do we have to worry about little horny stainless steel rats? Will Elon Musk be the godfather?
You know, I don't know. Now I guess I had to solve the technical problems and now I'm first up with the story, huh? Okay, hang on. So yeah, I have sound effects for all of this, but now I can't find them because I was busy, you know, fixing all the crap that was broken.
So I will say that, you know what, you can call a robot from Scandinavia.
Again, with the Scandinavian jokes.
Well, because my article's about Sweden, so what do you call a robot from Scandinavia? An artificial Swedener. And I did hear that robots can't have brothers, only trans sisters.
See, now there was actually a thing I was going to try tonight and like actually try and change our visual stuff. Let's see if this works.
Okay. There's also.
So now, theoretically, you should be able to actually see the screen cap of my article.
Yep.
Yay! Yep. Something worked! Huzzah! Well, my job is done here, boys. Good night.
Well, you'll have to scroll down so everyone can see the rest of it.
Well, this is all I got in the screen cap, so going to have to live with it, Mark. Yeah, well, okay, so the basics here are...
And if you think that that's something other people can see... I'll have to tell you, you're woefully mistaken.
Really?
Because I'm watching that on YouTube. No, it's just pictures of our caricatures.
Hmm. Well,
so carry on. Just skip it. Carry on. Go.
Well, Mark can see it, and I think that we've proven in the past that really I just do this show to make him laugh. So.
Okay. Carry on.
Dang it. So I thought I'd.
Oh, wait, no, there it is. It's on now.
Oh, good.
Yes, finally showed up.
Again, this is just scintillating to listen to, isn't it? Is this working? I don't know. Yes. Is it working? Can you see this? I don't know. I can still hear you, though.
It's as exciting as watching the IT guy try and fix my computer.
It's like listening to rodeo clowns. It's like listening to rabid rodeo clowns do a podcast.
No, that's actually interesting. This is just bad technical stuff. So carry on. Go.
Well, I mean, what more do you want me to say about this, except that scientists from the University of Vermont...
Okay, first off, did you read the article?
I did, but I read it a week ago.
You did? Okay, so was it an actual robot? I'm quizzing you about the article. That you
they're xenobots assembled from frog cells.
Okay, so that's not a real robot.
I don't know. Maybe?
Well, they're trying to make them into robots.
Are we just having like a children's book here? And, you know, when a daddy frog loves a mommy frog, they share a very special hug?
Well, if it were from horse cells, it'd be a wobot.
See, now, did you manage to hear that too? My computer just dinged.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there are people who are complaining about me not spending time on their stuff right at this moment.
and
it's all technical stuff too.
If it were Jamaican, it would be Droidlocks. So, anyway.
You deserve that one.
and this one's from Mark. This joke's from Mark. How did the robot kill everyone in the room? Everyone in the house?
No idea.
Roomba, room. Roomba.
Oh.
Silence! I kill you!
And if there were a robot JFK and he had problems in the technical system like we are having tonight, the answer would be, we will go to the moon and error.
Well,
what?
Okay.
So I do like have some error. I do have some comments on the article.
Why would we want to do that,
Mark? What the hell was that? What It's making that sound. It's like a cow walked through here.
Please, Mark, make some actual comments on the article.
Okay. Well, I mean, so I read it just a little while ago, prepping. There was the what I found interesting. Okay, so as a background, the scientists took these cells from frogs, and what they are is they're in nature, these cells develop sort of a coating around the young polywogs to protect them. But the scientists have taken it and somehow modified these cells so that they'll reproduce and just grow sort of in these globules of and that's what they have. They're talking about it being a spherical type thing that they would grow into. And
so you're describing my ex-wife.
What they have is they've developed these cells to just grow. And I, you know, and I'll be honest, one of the things with nanotechnology in the past is, you know, there's this idea of what they call a gray gray goo, yeah, where the you have a bunch of nanobots that can reproduce, basically build each other, and it just spreads over the entire planet because they just take everything. Well, this to me sort of sounds like a potential green goo situation.
Exactly. And I mean, in fact,
things got out and started reproducing? I mean, we'd have these slimy, you know, oceans and rivers and stuff.
In fact, Greg Bear wrote a novella about that in 1988 called Blood Music. Fantastic book. If you haven't read it, I think it won the Hugo Nebula. Great, great. I strongly suggest it. Have you read it?
I haven't.
Oh, that strongly suggest it. Blood Music.
Okay.
And it's about this guy who makes his white blood cells individually as smart as primates. And they start evolving in his body.
Oh, sweet. That sounds like a Stephen King novel.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very good. But, you know, I was reading along. I was expecting actual robots having sex and swapping parts. And then I got to, they were squishy robot cells. And then Greg Bear came to mind. I'm like, I seem to have underestimated the creep factor on this one. It's a really creepy story.
Yeah. I mean, you know, think of, it's basically the, well, I mean, I guess this would be sort of humorous, but Trouble with Tribbles, except on a microscopic level.
Absolutely. And in fact, I don't want to give a spoiler alert on a nearly 30-year-old novel, but things didn't turn out so well for humanity. I'll just say that.
I'm shocked. Shocked. You know, that's what I think whenever I hear stories about scientists doing experiments like this. I'm like, have these people never seen a science fiction movie?
Yes.
Ever?
Have they never watched The Twilight Zone?
Or, you know, to quote the great one, Jeff Goldblum, sure, it's ooh, ah, and then running, screaming.
All right, it's time for a palate cleanser, Mark. Today, Mark's article is from thedebrief.org. And this is an exciting thing because they actually found a warp bubble hiding in a Casimir effect. And warp drive, of course, is how Picard spent his time while not being a detective in the holodeck or doing musicals with the crew because, you know, I guess after 7 seasons, you got to do something. But the Casimir effect, and I'm not jumping over you if I talk about the Casimir effect, am I, Mark?
No, please, because I that's how I was going to have to start off, I think, was okay. Explaining it as best I could.
The Casimir is an actual physical force that works on the boundaries of materials, actual physical things like a couple of plates of metal, let's say, due to quantum fluctuations. And this is most commonly seen in experimental, it's there. It was predicted in 1948 and they tested it and it was completely there. It's most commonly seen in two parallel plates. They're really smooth and really close together like nanometers. And I actually have something here that I'll bring up. We just have to get to the right page, and there it is. And so there's an actual very simple equation that describes it. And the attraction between the two plates is per unit area is a function of Planck's constant, the speed of light, the square of pi, and then 240 over the area squared. So, you know, pretty simple.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, and one thing I'd point out too is, I mean, this is a force that was only predicted under quantum mechanics, and those plates, as far as classical physics go, there should be no force, because there's no current flow, there's nothing, and they're absolutely in a vacuum, and so there's nothing between them in theory, but this quantum force can actually works. I think I read that they can generate up to one atmosphere of pressure.
Yes, but it's over extremely small areas.
Yeah, very small. Okay, so that's sort of the background. And let me add one more thing. The effect can vary, and the amount of pressure varies according to the geometry of the different materials and the types of materials that they're using. So what, as best I understand it, this scientist who at one time had worked on the idea of a warp drive based on the idea of warping space-time, and then if something was in that warp bubble, they weren't moving within the warp bubble, so they weren't violating relativity, but the warp bubble itself, because it's space-time, could move faster than light, is the theory. And this guy had done some research on it, but then he's working for DARPA on this other project.
But I'm going to stop you right there. It's not technically faster than light. It is, because nothing ever actually moves faster than light. You manipulate space so it appears to be faster than light.
Warp drive.
And there is a difference. And I know I'm being, I know that's sounding very semantical, but it does kind of matter, because normal space is just so twisted that you're moving faster because you scrunch up the space in front of you.
Yeah, and I was just trying to simplify. You know, when you're in the bubble, you're not moving. Anyway, we're going to get into cosmology, and this is, you know, the expansion of the universe, and all this is going
to
get.
But there are a couple of principles to bring out here. Number one, the first company to develop warp drive will be light years ahead of the competition. Number one, and number two, never make a spaceship out of wood. I'm sorry, I need to do this properly. Never make a spaceship out of wood, Captain. It'll be warped.
Oh, yeah, terrible
science, bitch.
Okay. Anyway, so this warp, the idea of a warp drive, you know, is theoretically possible, but it involves strange materials and negative energy, et cetera, et cetera. And the prediction so far is that it would require immense amounts of energy to create an actual bubble big enough for a spaceship. I think they got it down from like all the matter in the universe being converted to energy to now mass the size of Jupiter. But anyway, massive amount of energy. So sort of interesting to this guy, he's working on these cavities, studying them and everything, and found one that actually seemed to match the requirements for being a warp bubble. And it's very tiny, obviously. This is nano-sized, but you know, there it was. So they now, you know, in theory, you could now start experimenting with it. And he described that you could actually make one of these, put something in the middle of it that's a small nanometer, link a bunch of them together to make it a little bit bigger so it's easier to study, and you know, we could start experimenting with this, which is the really exciting part, because nothing really gets settled or explored thoroughly until you can do experiments and observations and work with it. So I thought this was an amazing story for that, because, you know, I mean, everything starts small. So, you know, maybe in one or two centuries, this will be scaled up to something usable. I was also excited by the fact that it doesn't sound like this guy used any energy really to create this warp bubble.
But and, you know, some of the best quantum effects are exactly like that. No energy is required for them because they can show up in real life too. For instance, if I put a sock on my right foot, no matter where the matching sock is in the entire universe, it becomes the left sock.
Oh.
The missus has gone entirely
on. For some reason now I'm starting to think of the infinitely improbable drive, but
yes.
Anyway, I thought it was an exciting little bit. I mean, you know, it's an amazing, it was an amazing theory, and to see that actually there it worked, you know, something works on it. I mean, now DARPA, the guy was pretty closed-mouthed about whether DARPA was ever going to look into it. He isn't being funded for research into that area, so he's not doing it. He's still working on this research of those cavities, but that sounds bad.
You got to be careful. Yeah. Research of cavities. It's a full cavity search.
Oh, gosh. Yes, sorry about that. Anyway, that's all I have to say. It's, you know, again, it's just sort of a fascinating thing. And I don't know, maybe we can take some of those biological robots and stick them in little warp bubbles and shoot them all over the galaxy.
So a friend of mine was reading a book on quantum mechanics. I told him, he was holding it upside down, and he looked at me and said, it doesn't really matter. But I do have just one last one. Women are like an open book, but it's in Chinese, and it's about quantum mechanics.
Oops!
And Quizzer is online, and he is commenting in the comment box, if you guys are out there, and did ask the question, are you guys going to cover the Camel Beauty Contest scandal in Saudi Arabia? And I'm like, no, I haven't even heard about the Camel Beauty Contest scandal.
Oh, yeah, I just saw about that today.
Well, someone talk about it.
Okay. Well, I didn't even know they had Camel Beauty Contest, but they do. And apparently, I didn't read the whole article. I just sort of skimmed through. But apparently, there were people that were using drugs and Botox injections and fillers and stuff to make their camels more beautiful. So big scandal. It came out, got caught. I'm sure this has been going on for years, but
why do we keep talking about my ex-wife and these things? Are you still on?
Well, who knew they were camel plastic surgeons?
Oh, there's something very dramatic about this. It's too much dromedary. Oh, my. So the missus, are you still out there? Or
well, you know,
you...
it's I appropriate am still here, yes.
Okay.
It's appropriate to talk about the camel issue today, though, because it is hump day.
Okay. All right. So finally, we're going to have to get Quizzer on as a guest. I think we're just going to have to get Quizzer on as a guest. So there are four lights. That was from an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, where Captain Picard was.
See, and then I start the music, and what did I do? I screwed that up too, because I started to listen to it.
Quizzer notes that that part of the surgery was to round out their humps.
I would think they would want more humps on the camels. Am I wrong? Just letting this play.
Well, you can kill that because that's TNG, right?
That's what you told me that you wanted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it doesn't matter. So anyway, Picard was captured, and they tried to brainwash him, and you know, they tried to convince him there were five lights, and he said no, there are four lights. But in the end, he did say that he had been brainwashed, because he did see finally, after being brainwashed, there were five lights. So in Sweden, a researcher did a study and found that nearly all of the surprise sex, and you weren't here, don't say the R word, had non-Swedish people, immigrants, non-Western folks as the, we'll call them rappers. And 10% of Swedish women, 10% had been sexually assaulted.
And wait a minute, I thought rappers had two P's in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And they're going after the researcher for finding, for discovering these facts, because ethics. And so the problem is, it's an inconvenient fact, right? And the idea is that the left cannot in any way allow truth with a capital B T to be told. And I'm going to
wait.
Still...
I thought that they were the people who were behind science, you know.
I represent science.
This leads to the, what I call the great counterfactual gambit of facts that leftists have to ignore to live on a day-to-day basis. So today in the Drudge Report, it talked about a guy who was swimming as a woman, and he finished a swimming race 38 seconds in front of the next female swimmer. 38 seconds.
Well, and the whole story on that is that for his freshman, sophomore, junior year of college, he swam as a guy. Did okay, placed in a few meets, you know, nothing really to write home about. But still, again, a Division I collegiate swimmer.
Yes.
Then decided he was a girl.
Well, now,
and went back to compete his senior year on the girls' swimming team. And now I know you're going to find this shocking, has set NCAA record after NCAA record. I know
well,
you're going to be shocked.
And in fact, that tells you what a bad swimmer he is as a guy, because the average, I'll say the average swimmer in college at the Division I level can break many women's world records. And I imagine he will. So in order to have the great counterfactual gambit count, leftists have to ignore the fact that men on average will always be much, much stronger than women. And this also brings us to trans people. Any suggestion that the latest mantra that trans women are women is against all manner of biological facts, well, it's not acceptable. If that were the case, we wouldn't need to have a word for trans women then, would it be? Likewise, trans women wouldn't be upset that they were often can only get dates from other trans people. And that is a thing. They're upset because the only people that will date them are other trans people. So it's a little weird there. Go ahead. Okay. And we weren't all born with equal abilities, temperaments, or physical characteristics. We are actually not even remotely the same in many respects. Sure, we're human, but some populations have extremely different DNA with great degrees of differing abilities based on solely on that. Intelligence is at least 60% heritable and maybe higher. And weirdly, the trend in 2020 is people segregate themselves by IQ before they even, I mean, that's where they meet. They meet in college, they meet smart people, meet other smart people, and then they have smart kids.
True international average of pressure.
Even if, yes. That is true. But leftism requires, people ignore reality when reality gives them results they don't like. I read one article where a leftist was writing a hand-wringing piece about how disappointed he was because artificial intelligence could determine the race of the patient being x-rayed with a high degree of accuracy. Even when they took the x-rays and they degraded the quality of the film, the AI could tell the race of the person who was being x-rayed. That bothered him because the researchers intentionally took the data and degraded it and made it bad and could still easily determine what was what.
Remember,
and the site,
follow the science.
I represent science.
This bothered the scientist because it violated his belief that race was nothing more than a social construct. Yet here was a robot built to determine patterns that was it was completely demolishing his belief. So if you make that device that's good at noticing patterns, you can either accept that patterns exist, where you can make the machine ignore reality and thus make it useless, and Congress cannot stand the competition. So, anyway, that was one of the comments that the Swedish thing brought up. And it's true. I mean, it goes back to 1984. Weakness is strength. Cowardice is courage. Ugliness is beauty. Defeat is victory. Every value that the right holds has to be inverted. It has to be turned on its head. Weakness is strength. Cowardice is courage. Ugliness is beauty, and defeat is victory. And ACLU, far from compromising him, vaccine mandates actually further civil liberties. This was from the ACLU. So I forgot, slavery is freedom. The result is an inverted leftist utopia. It's a burned world, cleansed of all they despise. So.
See, now I'm depressed.
Why are you depressed?
That's like a total downer, man.
Well, and you know, I hope I don't say anything to get you kicked off YouTube, but
this is us. You know, it's an us thing, Mark.
If Mark is going to preface what he's going to say with that, I'm like, oh wait, let me get the popcorn. Hang on.
No, I'll have
the wine out, Mark.
I'll try to be as careful as I can, but. The whole reason for BLM and this whole concept of, you know, whiteness and white privilege and all this is to, you know, it's sort of the new version of what, you know, just a few years ago people were making fun of as magic dirt theory. Mm-hmm. And where, you know,
Box Day.
And it's all this is it's a way of they're trying to basically they're invoking magic to explain why certain groups have been successful and other groups have been less successful, notwithstanding, you know, nearly 50 years of you know, aid and assistance and special school programs and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to try to offset the supposed effect of poverty and other things. And all of that work on, you know, for creating the Great Society and the war on poverty, et cetera, it didn't work. It hasn't worked. And so they've got to come up with some other excuse. You're right. It's because they can't, you know, nobody wants to look at the truth, and no one wants to develop policies that are maybe based on some of the more factual issues. And so, like I said, they resort now it's magic, you know, just by being white, you have some sort of magical field that allows you to succeed where others don't. So yeah, like I said, I hope that doesn't get you kicked off.
Well, but I'm gonna toss this out because Quizzer noted this, and this is a beautiful statement. Reality bats last. And one of the big mantras of the left has always been that all truth is relative. And that's insidious. It takes a true statement, true with a capital T. We can't know everything. No one can outside of deity. And takes it to the idea of the general. It says, since we can't know everything, we can't know anything. And that's not true. We can start with math. 1 + 1 = 2. If you believe that 1 + 1 = 2, there is a truth. Gravity always pulls down. A truth. As Quizzer said, reality bats last.
That's just your privilege talking.
Yeah, but see, white, but math is an example of white privilege, according to the left.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you hear about that group of mathematicians and engineers who I don't know where the letter was, but they wrote there's like 100 of them that wrote the letter about this alarming dumbing down of mathematics. I think especially in California and Washington, I'm not 100% sure where it was.
It is
where they're limiting access to upper division math classes.
Yes. Actually, that's...
When you notice a disparity in academics, the obvious solution is to make sure the smart kids don't have those opportunities anymore.
So and with,
let's have dumb engineers.
But let's face and doctors. Let's face it. Smart kids are gonna be okay.
Yeah, they really okay. are. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, long before we had formalized schooling, smart people did pretty good.
Yeah, Leonardo. You know, he wasn't in the gifted and talented program.
Right.
What was up with that? So nope, I strongly believe that. And again, I'm going to come back to the quizzer statement. Reality bats last, and truth, real truth, exists. I think that the big driver is the left is they really hate themselves and they feel awful about themselves. And that's why they have to deny truth. That's why they have to run through these inversions. And so that's the driver on this. So I went kind of long on that and I kind of took that a little bit off. Did you have some more observations on the story, Mark, or any of the other commentary?
Nope.
Wow.
The missus? Oh, see, that's why Mark's the funny one.
The missus?
No, you know... I mean, you know how I feel about the First Amendment. I'm pretty much a First Amendment absolutist, and especially when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, if you have to, as a researcher, tiptoe around the subjects that you're researching so that when you find, and they didn't expect to find that when they set out. That wasn't even what they were looking for, but it just, you know, kind of leapt out and grabbed them, statistically speaking. And when you can't publish things that clearly are true... Again, absolutely. You know, what is truth? And there is absolutely, if only certain things can be true when you can prove them. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just pissed off about it. How about that?
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's right.
Overgrown Hobbit notes, maybe we're making the error of trying to put a reason filter on a loon who thinks he's a fried egg.
I thought
well, for... He claims he's white and likes bacon, but today he refused to support my pro-bacon initiative. Like, I'm telling you, we have to have those two honest guests.
I thought for a second you were calling Mia Overgrown Hobbit, and I was like, well, that's her.
No. No, you're just short, you're just low to the ground and hard to knock
hard
over.
Hard to knock over, yes.
Because you have those stout legs.
Exactly. And large, hairy feet.
Let's get those little legs moving, Scully.
Ah, you know, before I lost everything in our podcast folder, I used to have that sound clip, too. I'll have to find it again. Yeah.
Well, Mark, it's certainly wonderful to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
Yes. Are you going to be able to be back next week?
Yes.
Okay. Don't want to put you on the spot. I mean, you know. But I mean, I don't know if you listened to our last week's podcast, but you know, it was like, well, I would describe it as the children in charge of the candy store.
Two doofuses with a couple of microphones.
Yes. And again, we called it our unprepared special, so we specifically...
And boy, did that shine through.
Yes. Our level of unpreparedness, it bled over into unprofessional. So.
Well, at least, I'm the only one here who's not allowed to, who is allowed to be unprepared on a week-by-week basis.
I had 1,400 words of notes for tonight. 1,400 words of notes for just for tonight. So,
and I clearly did not even have my mic on the right setting. So,
<That's right. laughs> is it Wednesday again?
No.
Well, you noticed when I quizzed you about your article. Did you read your article?
I read it a week ago. And by read, I might have just read the headline.
Sex and robots.
I am all, yes, yes, totally.
All right. Oh, well, any other notes, Mark?
No. I was just going to say, I will make sure that I'm here next week with the most depressing article I could find.
Well, see, I beat you tonight. I was in third place. I mean, the most depressing goes third. So you showed up with warp drive, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And if I had known how depressing the Mrs. article was, you'd have been first up, buddy.
When you call my article depressing, is it depressing, or was it
the
just
green
sad?
Goo problem? Yeah.
On that note.
So now bear in mind, you have to talk a little bit to fill this, because I did not have a chance in this past week to edit this down so it was a much shorter talk bed. So we have to BS a little bit until you get to listen to the music. Your cue will come. Not yet. Don't jump in there yet. Hang on. There's your cue. Start talking.
And thank you once again. As always, we'll be back next week. I'm John.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the Mrs.
You have to say the thing.
And then it looped on me and started playing.
Well, you have to say the thing.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Okay. And we're out.
Maybe. We're still on. What are you talking about?
Well, you don't know how to turn it off.
Oh, no.